Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined by producer Joel.
Hello.
Quick question, what were you typing?
I was just sending a little email.
Were you? It was little. Yeah. It didn't last long. It was do-do-do-do-do.
Sometimes that's all it needs. Yeah. Go away.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Oh, hang on. I've just got an email. Hey. Good joke.
Fun.
Come on. It's the intro. It's the fun it's intro. Good. The podcast intro. Producer Joel, what's been happening?
I've just been being very warm for a few days and having a horrible time.
Horrible time?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like the warm?
Well, I do, but not when you have to like work. Yeah. Working from home in this heat is unbearable because, you know, we don't have air conditioning here in the UK. That's not a thing people have. No. And it's like 30 degrees. I can barely touch my laptop.
Is it hot?
I'm hot. The laptop's hot. So the second I touch it, it's covered in sweat.
Oh, no. You're having a nightmare over there.
I am. How are you getting on? Oh. You're in a very brave grey T-shirt.
Brave?
There couldn't be a colour worse for 30 degrees of heat, right? Sweat patches galore in a grey T-shirt.
Oh, well, yeah, I just chucked this on for you, Joel, because I didn't think you'd want me topless.
I would, actually. Glistening, I bet you are, in this heat.
I didn't think about it. I'm not going out for a little while, so...
Oh, there we go. Well, just remember, when you do go out...
Oh, thanks, Joel.
Your whites, your blacks, those are the T-shirt colours you want.
Are they?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Good top tip that. Top tip from producer Joel.
From a sweaty man.
I've just been watching the NBA finals. It was the final game. Were you nodding like you know about this?
I know about it, yeah. Do you know the Greek freak, Giannis, had an absolute stormer, 50 points or something, didn't he?
God, Joel, I'm impressed by your knowledge.
He tweeted in 2014, "I'm not leaving Milwaukee until we win a championship."
He did.
And there you go. And now he gets to leave.
Well, but in his after speech, he said, "Let's do another one."
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but he's going to go, isn't he? I don't know. People don't care about this, Joel. People don't care.
No, they don't.
No.
They
don't. Oh, okay. So you've just been hot.
Just been quite warm. Yeah, I haven't really got much to tell you, to be honest.
No. All right. Well, you don't have to tell me that much, Joel. You know, if you don't want to, you know, bring...
What have you been doing? Have you been gigging? Have you had to gig in this heat? What are audiences like when it's this hot?
I've been gigging. In this heat, and audiences have been lovely. I did a lovely outdoor gig in Crawley the other day. Really nice weather. Got on stage. It was outdoor gig. The sun was directly in my eyes.
Oh, wow.
And I have, Joel, I don't know if I've told you this before. You could probably tell. Quite sensitive eyes.
Oh.
And I basically, my eyes, right?
Did you do the whole thing with your eyes closed?
Wow, squinting, yeah. Mm. Oh, and sort of looking off to anywhere except the sun.
Did you address it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But when I was a kid,
my
dad was a photographer. And so every year we'd do like a family photo thing. And everyone would get so annoyed at me because as soon as the flash came on, or no, it wasn't a flash. It was in a studio, so it was those big lights. I could not keep my eyes open. I couldn't. If I did, it was like looked like proper straining. Like, And everyone would get annoyed at me because I drew in the photo, each photo. There's nothing I could do. What was I supposed to do, Joel?
I don't know, Mark. Nothing.
And then, so every year at so this has happened throughout my life. Every year when I used to run the University of Kent Taekwondo Club, we'd have an outdoor photo. And sometimes it'd be indoors, right? And I'd be praying for indoors because I could deal with indoors.
Great.
But no matter what it was, every time, because they want the sun sort of in front of you, because it, you know, lights up your face. Every photo, I look ridiculous, squinting like I'm in pain.
I'd love to see a collection of photos of you.
Oh, there's some awful ones. And I'm the instructor, so I'm supposed to look like the most professional out of everyone. And I look ridiculous. And I can't help it, Joel. I can't suddenly put some dark sunglasses on in the middle of a taekwondo photo. Imagine all my photos from childhood were just me with these sunglasses on. Everyone else without. That would be, that'd be great, actually.
It would, especially the indoor family photo shoots. That would be so good.
Oh, there we go. Well, Joel, I've just noticed I have 15% on my laptop. So I'd say, let's get this intro in the can and I'm going to then go and charge it up.
Okay.
So really nice podcast this week. Lots of great joke chat. We recorded it a while ago and I thought I'd lost it. And then I found the Zoom call chat, which is fine. It still sounds good.
Sounds fine.
But I don't think my audio is as crisp as usual. Because for some reason, I don't know what happened. But it was a great one. I'm glad we found it. And there's still a bonus podcast over on patreon.com/jokeswithmark and a 361 jokes, 5 at a time. So head over there and check those out. Who's this week's guest?
I didn't think you were going to say who it was then. I was sort of wondering if it might be funny if I just didn't remind you. And we just went into the episode. It is Mr. Paul Savage.
Paul Savage, right in your ear holes. Yeah, so what have you got some bits that you were going to want to talk about?
Yeah, so bits? Some old bits. Yeah, so I have got my phone in front of me.
Oh, you're a phone guy.
Yeah, I was a pad guy, and then it just became too many, and like not enough information. Where you're not putting stuff. Do you know what I mean? Where you, unless I've written a one-liner where it's every word has to be correct to get all of the joke across, if you know what I mean, I will just write a word down and then that's not enough, and I'll write it because I've got terrible handwriting, and so I just start writing it on my phone and just being like, just do it properly. Also because this one backs up to my Google account, because I had a phone and a pad. It's when I was writing my first Edinburgh Hour, where I wiped my phone accidentally and lost my pads in the October the year before. And then immediately before Edinburgh did the same thing again. And so lost everything. But that was actually really useful because I only had memories of bits that worked.
Right.
And you're not taking these little broken sparrow half joke ideas that you want to work, you know, you're like, oh, this if so I put a load of work in. Yeah, I just went up there and be like, I'll just riff, guys, we'll get there. But yeah, just went in there and was like,
shout,
oh, actually, like,
out.
Yeah, did that for 2 hours. So went through and was like, come on, give us, trying to rebuild a set is really interesting. It's like what you were saying when I said, oh yeah, I saw you with a black eye, and you were like, oh yeah, and you came up with 3 jokes that you did then. Sometimes you'll like remember a thing and you'll be like, oh yeah, I had 5 minutes on this, why don't I do it anymore? And it's just because it, you know, sometimes it drops out your set because you're bored of it, or you're you know, it loses topicality, but it's a thing that comes in cycles. Yeah. So you can bring it back and you're like, have you ever had that where you got like something in the audience where they said something and you slip into a bit of prepared stuff and it looks off the cuff, but also you've got like 4 or 5 toppers on it. So amazing where they're like, this guy's a genius. And you're like, oh, this was one that I did that I've found and brought back, put it further up my notes. Right. So do you know the phrase opinions are like arseholes?
Everyone's got one?
Yeah, that's the thing. But it's right. Mine is opinions are like arseholes. Straight men really like to probe other people's, but they get defensive if you test theirs. Yeah, it's that noise that every time I've done it, it gets that where people are like,
there's a lot to process.
Yeah, it's also, I think it's clever rather than funny. I think it's a tweet. Do you know what I mean? It's like a very good. It's not like that is
because for a one liner, there's a lot of information in the punchline. Like it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you're like, oh, hang on, I've got to make sure I understand everything that's coming at me. And then you're like, oh, yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the...
So that's essentially a one-liner. So would you say you do really, that's what you could sort of are drawn to more? Or
it's a weird one. Is if I sit down and write, that will be what I write, is jokes, because I like words and I like taking apart words and playing the thing. I started getting into cryptic crosswords, of like writing the clues for them for other people, because I'm trying to write puns or wordplay and you go, oh, that's too far away from a joke, but you've got all the like the bits of it and you can just go, this is a pun that's not as funny as a joke. That's where that lives then. Like you could put all the work into trying to make that a joke.
So what are you saying the difference between a pun and a joke is?
I think a pun when it works, when it's a little puzzle box, isn't it? It's the and when it all makes sense. I was on a podcast a while back and I was having to defend puns, which is because the comic that I've drawn, there's quite a lot of wordplay in there, and sometimes when you've over contrived it or when you've made it too,
this bad boy,
that's the bad boy, when you've made it too contrived, when you've put too many bits into it, that's when people are like, nah, I don't like it.
I don't like those actually, really. And they're the ones where there's a lot of ridiculous information in the setup.
Yes.
To force it to make sense in the punchline. And
But
then some people love those. But for me, I'm not a fan of that. So that's why I never really consider myself a pun comic, which people think's weird, I think.
Oh, it's one of those sort of, because I don't like, I basically don't like anything that I consider to be cheating. And then it turns out that I do loads of those things. But when you're like, but when I do it, I'm doing it properly. So I'm doing it. There's loads with, there's one the other day I was trying to write. And it just turns out, because the whole thing of not using the word in the punchline, that you not using the word in the setup in the punchline, it was about playing cricket with a mate who's lost vision and had to have a prosthetic one put in. And he went over to bowl and it fell out. Luckily, no one batted an eye. And the problem there is what you want is a different word for eye that you can put in there. Because I was having to be like, oh, he lost sight in one of his, and he had a glass.
Because you've got eyeball, but it's still say eye.
Yeah, but you're just sitting there just going, like you can't say glass eye, you can't say lost vision in one eye. You can't say there's not another word for eye. You can't be like,
no, you've got all the ocular elements of the eye, like pupil and all that.
Yeah, yeah. And
his fake. Yeah, there is another word for eye.
Yeah, and you're sort of sitting there just going, ah, that's. I remember finding there was like trying to do one on elephant in the room. There's no other word for elephant that's like really obvious what you're describing. Whereas like lion, you can be like, oh, big cat or something, or, you know, like the king of the jungle, or
right,
you can be like, oh yeah, he was lion.
You know, the grey thing with the trunk.
Exactly. You've got to be really like,
because when you're trying to do that, it is so important, because as soon as it doesn't sound natural, the audience is like, oh, hang on, what's going on here? And that's when they groan when you hit the punch.
Yeah. 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 I hate a groan.
I still want to try and make like, that
I
one.
I know some people are like, hey, groan's as good as a laugh. And it's not. It's not at all. It's like,
My mate has no vision one side. And then he went to bowl, and as he did it, everyone noticed that he had an empty socket. Luckily, no one batted an eye.
Yeah, so maybe it's closer,
by,
isn't it?
Maybe, but by empty socket, you can cheat into it.
That maybe
it's
even do it on stage and just being like,
still a ridiculous setup. It's still nonsense.
Oh yeah, and there's so much setup as well. There's like It's one of those ones that like that you just sort of sit there and think, yeah, it's not worth it. It's not.
It probably wasn't worth that 10 minutes we just spent on it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there's it's such a fun thing with like. It's also weird because like now I'm starting to get like following is not the right word for it. But like people who have seen me regularly, and when I do a show up at the Fringe, you know, I get people coming back or get people going. I find that because the last 4 or 5 shows have been sort of mostly true storytelling about my life and being that sort of, is you can't slip into like obvious weird fantasy stuff.
Yeah,
unless it's based in something. So like I had a bit a couple of years ago about it was some surreal stuff about adverts, but I had to basically sort of weave it into the story, which was a very marginal story, but you know, like you just had to make it a bit of this and put yourself in it enough. But because you've written for other people, haven't you? Yeah, sometimes, because those are like when you're writing for other people, you can be like, here's a load of stuff. But like when I tell stories, I think people can tell whether I'm lying or not. Like, right, and so yeah. I'm quite happy to tweak a story 10-20%, you know. I think, because sometimes I will be about to say a thing, don't say it, and still mentally cringe and go, ugh. And if I had that mentally cringe reaction to nearly saying it, I think that's fine for them me to say it on stage, as if I did say it, because that's obviously, you can't just be like, and I nearly said blah blah blah, because people will be like, all right, that's not a story. Where he's like, yeah, we all do that. Whereas if you actually say the thing,
and
that's what I did, I said the thing, oh my god, I shouldn't have said it, and everyone's like, ah, oh, but also yeah, there's
the things are always funnier if it happened, if you say it happened.
And yet you there are certain people who are like, nah, I don't, like, I can make stuff up, just, you know, don't even have a gram. That's and you're like, wow, how.
When I tried to do a couple of stories here and there, sometimes the situation, if the only time I'd ever used to think to do a story is if something really mad happened, But sometimes anything that's too mad, it just sounds like you're a comedian that's just making stuff up. Do you know what I mean? Like I went on not even a date really. I just met with this girl. And
yeah, that is too mad a story. No one will believe that.
and that was it. And just no one ever went with it. Cause I mean, I think it's funny. Isn't it not funny? We were at King's Cross, and then we walked up to behind King's Cross. There's like a little canal thing there.
Yep.
And during the day, nothing creepy. And no one's seen her since. no. And this mad thing happened where all these policemen with guns turned up and just...
Oh, shit.
With these groups of guys, they were like, get on the floor, down, down, down. And I remember I wrote some funny lines about what happened, but when I tried to do it, I don't think people believed that actually happened, because it's just something you see on TV.
Yeah, when the premise is so far from what you're expecting, there was one, and I've never done it. I've done it on stage once at a storytelling night, but because there's no like need to make that funny, which is the nice thing about those. It was. We got booked for this gig by a guy who was sort of, you know, one of those weird little promoters in the Midlands who are sort of like, I'm putting on a gig. And you're like, cool, great. And all we had was the postcode for it. And on the morning, his mum rang, text me and went, oh, the gig's off, promoter's not very well. This is his mum. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Is he all right? And she was like, yeah, he's just not been taking his medicine. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. He texted me in the afternoon and go, gig's back on. I was like, okay, great. I'll get in the car. He sent me a postcode, get to it. It's a hospital building. But it's just called, like, looks quite anonymous. And then we pull up outside in the car, in the other comedian that I'm bringing. And he gets in, and then we drive off to this gig. The promoter's really altered. He's just like acting a bit weird. And it turns out that we have done a jailbreak on a psychiatric ward. And and so we go to this gig. They think it's been cancelled.
The promoter was the guy you picked up.
Yeah. Turned out to be mentally ill and had been sectioned that morning. And because he gone off his antipsychotic meds, but he'd still got his phone with him. So he was like, I think he'd ordered pizzas to the front door. Three people had got out when they, because it's just a psychiatric, small anonymous building. So this pizza guy turned up. Three other patients got out at the same time he did, but we got a car there for him. And he's like, hello. So we were basically getaway drivers. And then,
when did you find this out?
Like on the way to the gig. We found this out. But then, like, so I was like, still got his mum's number, texting her going, we got your son, is there? And she's like, no, he's supposed to be in a hospital. This was how like far ago it was in my career. He was like, stay over on my sofa. And I was like, that's a gig. Yeah. now I don't stay on people's sofas anymore. I've made it that far. I was like, do you want him back? And she was like, back at the hospital. And she was like, there's literally a manhunt around. They've closed off the entire of the city centre with police cars and stuff like that on a Saturday night. Because we'd, and the thing is like, it's really difficult to turn this into a bit of material because A, it's really quite sad that he's that, but also no one believes you. No one's like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't even believe you. It's so difficult to get into the story where you're like, you know what it's like. You know what it's like when you're doing a jailbreak for a psychiatric ward and you're the getaway driver and you don't even know. What's that about? Have you ever caused a major 20 police car incident in a city centre on a crowded?
You tried it a few times, did you?
I've tried it at like one of those storytelling nights, you know, the ones where it's like,
yeah,
And did just you come and tell a true tale.
Did you add anything to it?
No. Tried to keep it as.
But where did you see the laughs in the sort of?
I think there was just sort of like the awkwardness and the weirdness.
This is why I can't do storytelling, because I don't really understand how you generate laughs out of storytelling. Yeah. Because it's all in the. It is. I know it's such a cliche, but it is all in the telling. To make people laugh. You watch someone like Carl Donnelly, he's just so good at like just that kind of bringing everyone and getting laughs as you go in the story. I would never be able to get laughs.
Have you ever tried to tell, you know, when you're just like down the pub or something, somebody else's story, or like, because like there's certain people who are like, who've got bits, they're not storytellers in the same way, like someone like Scott Bennett is brilliant for having brilliant bits on stuff where even if you like, I remember I was chatting with my parents and then pretty much word for word doing his bit on taking your kids to the, where they're this old and this old, taking them to, yeah, you can get in free at that thing if you're that old, and you do the, and it's such a lovely, and it's sort of storytelling because it's based on his true stuff, and I can do that. I can go, yeah, you can tell that in the pub as sort of like, I'd obviously credit him because it just don't want anyone to think I'm stealing Scott Bennett's bits to make myself cleverer down the pub. But
I mean, I love that like, Scott Bennett bit about breaking out some people in a song. That was good when he did that bit.
Oh, he's a classic for that. But the have you ever tried to be like describe somebody's brilliant story and then you'll start telling it and be like, no, I've not got the charm for this.
Just with any of my own stories, like anything. If I'm trying to tell a story to mates, and I get sort of into it, and I'm like, I'm really regretting starting this because there's nothing coming, and I know there's quite a bit left, and they're not engaged in it at all. Like,
yeah,
I'm the classic in a group of friends that I'm the quiet one that when there's an opportunity to strike, I'll say something short, sharp, bang. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Which is essentially what I do on stage, is that's just the way I work. I can't hold court at all.
Yeah, that was loads of people because I was very shy growing up, like did not like being the center of attention, didn't like making and so like I know people who were at school with me who were like, oh wow, it's like insane that you became a stand-up comedian, because I remember you saying a funny thing once and then not speaking for ages because you just because that was it was like, yeah, you wait for the opportunity, bam, strike out a little thing, but like you can just be like, nah, I got my laugh, I'm going back in
and
my life.
If it doesn't get a laugh, then I won't speak for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was just like, yeah, I said something not funny in front of a girl in year 12. Didn't speak again for the rest of school. Just,
so what else have you got down? What other bits?
Oh, yeah. So I've got a longer bit here.
I'm trying to steer you because we're enjoying chatting too much.
Do we do longer bits or is it jokes?
No, whatever you want, mate. Yeah, vary it. Absolutely.
Cool. So I've got a bit, and it's sort of observation. I mean, it is observation. But it's basically, there's no big place for getting your phone screen mended. I'll just show you that, because that is my phone at the moment, which is... and you probably can't see the size, but I melted it with a candle because I was trying to do things on my boat in the dark. idiot. So there's no big place for getting your phone fixed. So there's not like a brand name for like, oh, mobile phone repair, mobile phone replace. It's always this little
tiny little
shop. And it's like, because you go get your phone from like the iPhone store, the Apple store, and it's all like shining, gleaming and like chrome and smoked glass. And then you go to a place that also sells vapes and it's next to a chicken shop. And it's got the shutters halfway down the window during the middle of the day because they're like, oh, we don't have time. If it kicks off, we've got like two rolls of the shutter. And And you just go in there with like you're cradling your phone and just being like a little sort of like an old Russian farmer whose child has been mangled by farm machinery, just being like, please, my son, he's very sick, please fix. And then you give them your phone and they're like, oh, cool, man, it'll be 45 minutes. And you'd be like, cool, just, I was going to say give us a ring, but you can't do that because you've got my phone. I don't know how to wait anymore. I don't know how to, like, if you give me 35 minutes to, cool, it's going to be 35 to 40 minutes. You're like, I don't know what to do. What am I going to walk around, listen to my own thoughts? No. So I've got like the idea for something there, but like that is definitely.
So I relate to that because
an observation that is tailing off.
Yeah, because it goes from observation into. Well, isn't because I was actually thinking the next observation is like if someone repairs your phone and then there's a time for you to come back, like no one has a watch now because your phone is your watch. So to me, there's another observation there.
Yeah. Into. That's nice.
But I related to the beginning
because I walked in after last time I got my phone fixed. He was like, oh, yeah, it'll be 2 o'clock. And I walked around the block. Like I took a big long walk around the block, came back in, and he was like, oh, we said 2, didn't we? And I was like, I have no idea what the time is. Like, I'm going to ask a stranger what time it is. Like, it's the 40s. Come on. Like, say so, do you have the time?
Just like, I had the bad experience. I didn't know what to do. Of that, like I had a cracked phone and I thought I'll go for the cheap option, and I went to one of those places, and then when I got it back, you'd press part of the phone screen and then the top right hand corner would press, so it like the whole thing was knackered. And I learned my lesson. Yeah. And I always take it to Apple and just pay through the nose now, because your phone's so important.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Unless it's, you know, a really good place, like that's, you know. Because that's the thing I thought, though, whether that's the problem with the observation is you can take it to Apple. So there is a place.
But then
I was thinking, well, maybe like with Samsung and that, there isn't anywhere. So that would still work.
Because it's a weird one with the little sort of, I remember trying to do a bit about garages years ago. But there's no, because like, you know, the sort of like little under the railway arches. Garages, yeah. But most people take them to like Quick Fit or the dealership to just be. And so the observation that you can be like, it's a perfectly legit observation, but no one's like, I've got
an observation about one of those kind of places to get new tires. You'd go there and they grunt at you, and like it's such a weird experience because you stand there, you've got your car pulled up. And they're just walking around and they don't say anything to you.
No.
Like there's no customer service. There's no, hello, mate. How you doing? Oh, what is it? You want tires? Yeah. Okay. We'll be with you in a minute. It's just, they just leave you there and you don't know what to do. I find it so awkward.
The worst one I find is when they open the bonnet up and something's gone wrong and you don't know what's gone wrong. And they'll open the bonnet up. And what I want them to just do is go, that's clearly broken, and tell you. Or go, oh, I don't know what's going on here. We'll plug it into the computer and the computer will tell us. But they always leave like this pause where, and then I have to fill it, me going, oh, I reckon it's, oh, because it was making a sort of, and just like, don't, because you want to feel like a bloke who knows about, like, because I always feel like doing this for a living is sort of like, it's very soft-handed and a bit sort of like, so I had a really difficult day today. I couldn't get this joke to work because there's no different word for I. And then you're like grunting around, picking up engines covered in oil. You're like so much more of a proper bloke than me. And then, and so that when it comes out, you want to be able to go, yeah, I thought it was you just want to be able to go, oh, to just go, this thing's definitely wrong. Like, because the amount of times I've gone in with it, just been like, yeah, the little light came on and said check engine, and then I've come to you, and they was sort of like, not belittle you, but sometimes you feel a bit patronised where they're like, oh, you couldn't do this yourself. You're like, no, I've got a job. Like,
so do you think that as an observation, because people go to different places, like more professional, not, that's a bit harsh, maybe more professional, but more kind of more branded. Because if you go to Quick Fit, someone will come and talk to you, and like it's
yeah, it might be. Because honestly, sometimes with doing observational stuff, it's finding out what is true to you and what is general life. If you know what I mean, because like I always find this a bit weird with your more successful comedians, like ones where they'll do 15 minutes about getting trolled on Twitter, on their sort of like Netflix special. You're like, who's that for? Who's that? Like, oh, you know what it's like. You know what it's like when you wake up and someone's like tweeting gifs at you, and you're like, no,
That's a different thing, isn't it? That's that kind of when people sort of talk about their celebrity mates and stuff. It's more of the people that are like, oh, I wish I was him because I wish I I wish I was famous enough to get trolled.
Very few people who I sort of not accept. Like, you can be as big a celebrity as you want, but like doing material about being a bit famous is really difficult to accept from certain people. We're like, and this is how I got mugged off on the one show. And you're like, people are dying, mate. Come on. Like, it can be a kind of funny story, but like, you have to be the loser in that. You have to be the...
The loserness has to outweigh the success side of being on the show. Oh, you're bloody frozen. You're back.
Back, I was such a loser in that story that my internet was like, come on, mate.
Did you hear what I said?
No, I didn't.
So it's like the loserness in the story has to outweigh the success part of being on the one show. So so you've got to really look like a loser for that to...
It's totally the... Paul Sinner's very good at that. Paul Sinner's stuff about being like... later in life famous and like having done all the hard yards and being only really specifically famous for like weird groups of people. So he's like, among quiz fans and people who like Tea Time Entertainment, he's huge. And then he can walk around the streets because no one knows who he is in the sort of general sphere of things. And that's quite a fun little thing to play with, where you can't just be like... And I remember some of Jason Manford's stuff when he was like just getting sort of famous and was like, that was quite cool because that was like, oh yeah, you're still relatable and every man.
Yeah. And then if you're doing it at the angle of I'm just a normal bloke and suddenly I've got this, I'm putting this.
Yeah, Mickey Flanagan's quite good as that as well. Just sort of like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm at a celebrity party. You know?
Yeah, it's a good angle.
But
So if you've got one last bit to do?
Let's do one last bit. Okay, so it's a bit about sort of like spontaneity at the sort of... So being in a relationship at the start, quite spontaneous, but like... and I was chatting to some female friends who were like, oh, I've been in a relationship for 10 years. I'd love a bit of spontaneity. And that is the correct amount, I think, is a bit. You want a bit of spontaneity, not loads. Like, oh, I saw these flowers and the colour of them reminded me of your eyes, so I bought you these flowers. Not, you mentioned you like Sylvanian families, so I've got a load of field mice and I've dressed them in tiny little clothes. Like, I made you a fun little treasure hunt. Not, I made you a fun little hostage hunt. Or like... unexpected breakfast in bed, not unexpected partner in bed. And that just bit sort of like...
It's like, because they are, but so technically, both all those options are all spontaneous. So it's not actually the bit of spontaneous. It doesn't feel like that's quite the right definition. Because they are all sort of equally spontaneous, but some are... Some are, well, especially if they're really well thought through, they're not spontaneous, are they?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like the wrong examples on those, or if it's just not like, or if it's too worked, if you know what I mean. Because sometimes when I write bits, they're, because this is something that's not been on stage.
It's like light spontaneity people want, isn't it? Yeah. That's more like the examples you gave, is some of them are quite light and some of them are quite heavy spontaneity.
Yeah, yeah. And you want, because I think once I get that, like, it's when you go on stage and you'll just be like, sometimes, like, you don't need a rule of three. Sometimes people, like, I get it. Like, you don't need to do it three times. You don't need to do a callback. You can just do the joke. Right. Like, you can do.
Yeah, because essentially they're the same thing. So you had to get more extreme with those examples to get any more out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so maybe, would it have worked just with one example and then moved on, do you think?
Maybe. Like, yeah, maybe it could just be like a bit of spontaneity, like unexpected breakfast in bed is a bit spontaneous. Unexpected partner in bed, too spontaneous. And then like, you don't need all that faff in the middle.
I think that's better. Because that's the perfect kind of example of awkwardness between the two. Breakfast in bed, partner in bed, that works nicely. But is it spontaneous? Maybe, I don't even know if that is a because that's not too spontaneous to have a partner in bed, is it? Because they're both, spontaneity is just, oh, let's just do that. Is that, so the difference in spontaneity is probably the same. I think that might be what
I think it's just more like sort of like, oh yeah, I'd like a.
But I like partner in bed and breakfast in bed as a thing. Yeah. There's definitely something you can do with that.
Yeah, it's a weird one because like this, because you're trying to like tweak it all around to make it sort of like, and sometimes, I mean, the best editor for most of these is an audience who will tell you really quite quickly, this works, this doesn't. Like,
so did you try that?
No, because I wrote it just before lockdown.
Oh, great. That's something to
look
forward to.
Like,
you have to let me know how it goes.
Yeah, I will do. I mean, it's going to be fun going back to it because, like, this, I don't want to be a comedian. I mean, there's going to be some stuff I talk about post going back doing lockdown gigs because I did nannying for my sister's kids. Mm. And so I've got like a bunch of stuff that's about like the morals in kids' TV and stuff like that, that I think is a nice way of getting into it. And a couple of fun stories that just happened to me and the kids, that were sort of an interesting, fun way of being like, because you hit a certain point as a age you are and the age the audience is, where if you're doing like a gig in an art centre in a town anywhere outside of London, your audience are going to be married and have kids.
Yeah.
As a general rule, you can't go out there and be like, you know what it's like when you're on Tinder, and they're going to be like, I am on Tinder as a divorcee. I do know what that's like. But that's a very different thing to being like 25 and like, we're trying to hook up. Because I have seen people go out there and eat shit because you've not put any effort into, of just being like, ah, man, this bit killed in, you know, to 25-year-olds at student gigs. And I've seen equally the same way around, someone slap on their Jongleurs club set to do a freshers gig. And you know what it's like when you've got grown-up children and they're like, we are grown-up children. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, this is, just not reading the room correctly. And I think it's always nice to have, like, bits about relationships and kids for people with relationships and kids, even if you're, you know, single and childless.
You always find an angle to get into it from your position. Literally saying,
"Yeah, that's
I'm not actually, you know, settled like some of you guys are, but my sister is. She's got kids looked after, and you're in."
Yeah, yeah. There was one it wasn't the best joke I've ever written, but it really hit a certain like noise out of an audience where they go, okay, let's, which was, it was going like, I'm 30, whatever I was at the time. It was like, I'm 37 now. So it would be like, I'm 37. I don't have kids, but I don't even know if I want to be a dad in the future. Wouldn't mind being a stepdad. Reckon that's piss easy. Reckon I could nail being a stepdad. And that would get like a sort of ooh in the audience. Cause like, I'm just going, what is it I need to do? Once every other weekend, go to something like a safari park, get a drive through McDonald's on the way home. I was doing that anyway. Just makes it less weird if I take a 6 year old. And the like the amount of women in the audience who were like, yeah, who were like clearly sort of mums who have got partners who are like, yep, you're doing the bare minimum. And you're like,
yeah.
It was just such, once I got into that little, it's always a really weird thing when you get like a joke that goes across really well with a certain demographic. That's always a weird one. Like, you ever have one of those bits where you're like, oh, this bit only works for one group of the audience, and that's...
No, I don't think so. Not really.
There was one I did years ago, and I kept in because it was just fun to point out the only people who got that were perverts.
Right.
Was, so I...
I probably won't get this joke then.
Yeah, you probably won't, because you're a good clean living boy. But it was, I went to my doctor because I've been having trouble with insomnia, which is true, because I've got really bad sleep patterns. And so come out a bit on that and go, yeah. And he said, look, we've tried all the drugs, we've tried all the tests. I think we're going to try something a bit more psychological. I'm going to put you down for a course of CBT. And I said, I can't say how cock and ball torture is going to help, but at this point I'm desperate. Right. Most people are going for cognitive behavioral therapy, which is the thing. And then there's a different acronym for cock and ball torture. And that would never get everyone. That would get like 4 or 5 people going.
Is that actually a thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I thought it was all right, because I thought you just made up a new thing for it. Oh, right.
No, it's some...
So you definitely be able to pick out who the perverts are.
Yeah, and you get people going, and you go, I found my little pocket full of perverts over here. Like, and it was quite fun too, because there was a couple of little bits later on in that show that I did that, where there was a couple more jokes about, because it was a gig that I'd been booked for that was emceeing at a sex club, which was a true story. And it was... And then just doing little riffs on that where there was like some specific terminology in there, like, because it was a really weird gig, but you have to tailor it to the audience. So you're like, give us a cheer if you're a dom, way, give us a cheer. If you're a sub, ask permission to cheer. Way. And if you're a switch, pick a fucking side. Now, switch is somebody who goes between dom and sub. If you're not into that scene, you don't know about that. I had to Google that, research.
But I still found that funny. You relayed that to me.
But yeah, that was it. And the little pocket full of perverts would all go, you're like them, the pocket full of perverts. Mm. And that was such a fun little thing to do in the room.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, it is once you explain it a bit and like sometimes...
Because even though I'm not in that... society, I don't know if that's the right word. I know what they are. So you saying ask permission to put your hand up or a chair that still works to me.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing of where you've got to, like, quite a lot of the time with doing jokes that are wordplay in stories, you are sometimes just finding out if you're like, is this phrase common? Mm. Like the amount of times that I'm like, oh yeah, that's a well-known phrase that I'm messing about with. And it turns out that no one really uses that. Or it's like
that happens to me quite a lot.
Yeah. I'd imagine that you were told.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you want to write jokes, sit down with the, you know, the dictionary of idioms and go through those.
Yeah, no, I never really did that.
Yeah, I tried doing it and it just doesn't work because
I see. You I can write... approach jokes slightly different because that's what people do and then they work backwards. But I tend to start forwards and then do a twist is how I'd like to do stuff. But yeah.
What do you mean, like with
my favourite jokes are kind of pull back and reveal-y, kind of just a natural in into a into a piece.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel forced or anything. And then that phrase within that, I then put a twist on afterwards.
Yeah.
So I tend to have I prefer having the phrase in the setup. And then, because I like my jokes to me being an idiot, so me misunderstanding something.
Yes.
So that tends to be in the setup. And then the punchline is the sort of the after effect of the way I've taken that phrase.
Yeah. It's a really interesting one because like your on stage character is so immediate where I don't know what it is about the sort of like the face or the way you set up. But if you say all of my jokes are about me being an idiot, you don't even have to say that or apologize for that. That's your sort of status is quite nicely lineated where you're like, oh yeah, I'm that.
Yeah.
Whereas there's certain ones where people say, oh, what are you, high status, low status? And I'm like, honestly, like, it depends on the bit. Like,
yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, and that I think is to my detriment where you're like, I don't know whether I'm, like, because there's bits where you're like, no, I was an idiot in this and I am now going to have to spend 5 minutes explaining a political thing to get the next.
Yeah, it's like, you know, some people have bits about they've got an idiot mate. Well, that idiot mate is always has to be me. I can't have an idiot mate.
Yeah,
that's how I kind of work on it. Right, we've got to stop there because my producer is going to be annoyed because we've been talking too much. It's great, man.
I'll give him the wooga.
#Astagawooga. That flew by, mate.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Absolutely flew by. Thanks for doing it. That's
absolutely great. Fun.
Paul Savage! #Awooga to Paul Savage. If you like the cut of Paul Savage's jib, he's made a little comic.
Oh, nice.
He's made a comic. And it's good actually. He sent me one. It's very funny. I just asked. I've got it right here actually.
Oh wow, it's physical.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, it's a real one. It's a real one.
Oh, look at that
in person. But I couldn't remember what it was called. I am okay, but it's called. But Doctor, I am a collection of comic strips. By Paul Savage. Nice little title, that. And that's available at savagecomic.com. There we go. Lovely.
Nice.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Joel.
Mark.
It's getting lower, the old thing. Is there anything you want to do before we say goodbye to everybody?
No, I'm scared of it dying, so...
Okay, head over.
Let's get out of here.
To patreon.com/jokeswithmark for all the extra bonus stuff. And see you all next week. Any more for you, Joel? Nothing more for me, Joe. #Awooga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.